So today we're talking about people who are just being normal, good-hearted, broken people who make mistakes, and also whose preferences don't happen to align with our preferences, and whose ways of doing things just don't happen to match with our ways of doing things.
Well, what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I could give you a list. Trust me. You really want to know? Oh, wait. I am not supposed to think that way anymore. Hey, this is Sherry Gregory, and you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Welcome to the 9th episode in our holiday break series. If you've missed any of them, you can find them all at gritandgrace.info. That's grit, the letter N, grace, all one word, .info. Well, last week, my delightful co-host, Amy Carroll, and I talked about dealing with our own feelings during the holiday season. Today, we're talking about how to respond to other people's emotions. The bad rule for this is that everyone else's peace and joy depend on you and how well you fill in the blank, find the perfect gift, decorate the perfect house, make the perfect dinner, etc. One wrong move and Christmas will be ruined. Now, I want to start by being clear that today we are only talking about others' emotions that actually need grace. Sometimes others' emotions are expressed in ways that need boundaries, and sometimes it's very firm boundaries. Amy and I aren't trained counselors, and every situation is different, so let's just be really clear from the outset that we're not talking about any behaviors or emotional expressions that fall under abuse or addiction or adultery, abandonment, or apathy.
I am so glad you made that caveat. Just last week, I had a blog post about giving freely, but in some of the responses that I got, it broke my heart because they were clearly thinking that they had to continue to give freely under one of those 5 A's. And I never want to lead somebody to that place. So thank you for that.
Yeah. You know, I'm remembering back to early on when we were first married, I was doing the little Susie Homemaker thing and I cross-stitched all of my gifts that Christmas for the women in the family. And I was so excited to give one particular one, and I'd framed them. And as this particular person was opening it, she opened it from the back. So she saw that it was something framed, and she said, "Oh, a family photo. Finally, I've been looking forward to finally getting one of these from you for years." And then she turned it over. Ugh. And looked at 25 hours of my time in a frame, and it wasn't what she had wanted. You know, it took me years to realize that the other person's disappointment was neither my fault nor my responsibility. Because back then, whatever anybody felt in the room, as an HSP, I could sense it quicker and more intensely than most people. And then as the perfectionist and people pleaser, I assumed it was entirely my fault and that I needed to do something about it.
Yes, yes. As we prepared for this, I couldn't think of one big story, but I just thought, wow, it was 100 little failures every holiday that made me feel like and I put hot failures in quotation mark, my perceived failures that made me feel like a failure by the end of the holiday. And I realized that there are two things that I was doing that added together were just a lethal combination. One is I had these pictures of perfection I've talked about in my head. What is perfect? They were these very narrowly defined pictures of perfection, combined with the fact that I constantly read the room. I don't necessarily know that I fall definitively in the HSP category, but I care so much about people that I'm constantly trying to read people, read faces, read reactions. And those two things together were just really, really bad. This weekend I was speaking and I was talking about one of my favorite women in the Bible, who's Martha. I love to look at Martha, and I've talked about her in the past, but I love to look at all three of the episodes that she's mentioned in, the last one just very briefly. In that first episode where she's in the kitchen stewing while Mary's sitting at Jesus's feet, there's this key passage that just encapsulates how I have approached the holidays in the past. And Jesus, when he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things," she said she was in the kitchen doing all the things that have to be done. That was part of the scripture. And I thought, how many times have I defined the things that have to be done incorrectly by my own pictures of perfection and by trying to figure out what other people need and want. She missed the joy of Jesus because she misread the situation. I've done the same thing.
What if she had asked? What if she had asked what Jesus wanted? And, you know, that's one of the things I'm thinking of for the holidays here. I used to think that I was just supposed to automatically be the expert on what everybody needed and wanted and how they ought to feel. And I finally figured out a few years ago that actually trying to set other people up to feel a certain way so that I can feel good is actually called manipulation. I'm not going to say that word very loud because I don't like it very much. But allowing other people to need what they need, want what they want, and feel what they feel, part of what I'm learning to do is ask in advance before we go to an event or like we're going to be traveling to Southern California. I mean, not obsessively trying to plan and control every detail. That's another extreme, but just kind of talk through it and find out what their needs are, what their expectations are. And, you know, years and years ago, I kept trying to make Daniel happy. And I finally expressed my frustration to him that I couldn't seem to make him happy. And he finally let me know happiness wasn't a goal to him. He didn't even consider it a worthy goal. To him, duty is everything.
Wow.
I finally realized his personality type is actually happiest when they're a little unhappy. And so, and actually he heard me say that when I was speaking once, and he's like, yeah, that's actually pretty true. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So he wasn't offended that you thought that.
No. And it it kind of took me a little off the hook. Trying to make some personalities happy is like nailing Jell-O to the wall. I mean, just get out your hammer and make some Jell-O. It'll be a lot easier. So it gave me permission to quit trying so hard. I'm not saying I've completely quit, but it helped me understand that the more effort I poured wasn't going to give me the more results. I could try a little, and if it worked, great. You know, like as a wife, I love making him laugh. But the likelihood that I can really make his day better or his week better, really pretty low, actually. And it's kind of freeing to realize that. You know, something else I'm realizing as I'm the 1 year anniversary of my mother's passing is actually today. And so Saturday was a little bit of a harder day because she died on a Saturday. I don't think of her. I don't think of today as the 1 year so much as Saturday felt like the 1 year. And one of the things I kind of regret is I didn't take the time to really listen to her perspective. I just was so wrapped up on my perspective and what I needed, what emotions I needed from her, and what emotional reactions I was craving from her. When we were looking for photos for her memorial service, we found the scrapbook she put together as a home ec major for her senior year of college. And I kid you not, Amy, there were pages on how to stage a corner of a house, like how to make a corner look beautiful in your home. And oh my word, my first thought was my poor mother lived with Philistines. I didn't care what the house looked like. My dad didn't care what the house looked like. My brother didn't care what the house looked like. Her natural God-given personality was to care about what even a corner in a home looked like. And so holiday meals, she would decorate the entire table. There were little place cards to tell us where to sit. This was just for a family get together, not a formal gathering. Well, every gathering with her was formal. And then she would make a huge centerpiece. And our idea of fun was when she would go to the kitchen to bring in a new dish, we would hide the centerpiece because we wanted to see each other. We couldn't talk over the centerpiece. It was so huge. And without a word, she would go find it, put it back. And then a little later, she'd go back to the kitchen. We'd hide the centerpiece again. And this was our idea of holiday entertainment. I mean, because the three of us were the sanguine, expressive personalities. And so we got a huge kick out of it. And only in seeing that scrapbook of hers and realizing we made fun of something she cared deeply about. And I never took this time to ask her or understand why it mattered so much to her. Because it didn't matter to me, I assumed it didn't matter. Very self-focused, self-centered perspective. And so one of the things, and I know it's not easy, I'm saying this alone in my house right now, but I'd like to try to put myself in another person's shoes and ask them as they're having an emotional reaction to something or expressing emotions about something that maybe I don't feel anywhere near the same way about. What could I learn about why they're having that reaction? What might I learn about why that makes them angry or hurt or sad or whatever it might be?
Sherry, That's so beautiful. It reflects such maturity that you're willing to see it about yourself. It also just reflects such the character of God. There's so much grace and compassion in that. So I'm absorbing that and wanting to do that now at Christmas as well. And I hope some of our listeners are. I love that. Well, one of the things that's been really great for me is that maybe 4 years ago at She Speaks, one of our amazing executive directors for Proverbs 31, she set a new rule for us at She Speaks that has become part of the ministry. And she said, you can come to me with any problem, but when you come, you must also bring a solution.
Oh, that's so good.
It has been fantastic. It has solved so many things for me because it used to be that I was pretty open about wanting to talk three things, but mostly it was just complaining.
Yes, I am very familiar with that routine.
So I would come and I would complain, but I didn't necessarily have a way to solve the problem. So it's really freeing to have a strategy of how to solve the problems when we bump into somebody else's emotions.
That makes total sense. And I'm willing to bet that our fabulous intern, Kimberly, will come up with an amazing digging deeper download to put on our website. I have an acronym for using anchor verses from the Bible, and I have a A-N-C-H-O-R, each means something else, so that when I'm in the middle of a situation, I already have a verse either memorized or in my purse, preferably memorized, so it's always with me, to help me stay anchored instead of being bowled over by the emotion ocean we talked about last week, because it's an emotion ocean, whether it's my emotions or whether it's somebody else's emotions. And to be able to stay anchored firm is far preferable, because like you've pointed out repeatedly, holidays are when we bring a ton of people together. And everything is just heightened and intensified because of that. And the opportunities for joy are amazing. But so are the opportunities for the more negative and difficult emotions. One thing that's been really important for me, and again, I just thank the creators of Pixar's Inside Out, is realizing that we can experience two seemingly opposite emotions at the same time. Because I used to think if I was angry at somebody, I no longer loved them. Or that if I was sad about something, I could not also be grateful. And part of what I've come to understand, and especially at the holidays, is we end up with all of these happening at once. And it's not the typical perfectionist, one extreme or the other. They can all be true at the same time. And that's part of what it means to be human.
That's terrific. So let's take a look at Matthew 11. Once again, this is verses 28 through 30 from the Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So how do you see that in perspective to other people's emotions, Sherry?
What's striking me in this is the unforced rhythms of grace. So much of life is seasonal, and so much of life is like the ocean, the ebbs and the flows. And I think as humans, we want to reach for only the positive. We want to just grab the best, the good, the part that we want. But the rhythm part says we're going to have both. We're going to have both extremes, and to be willing to accept that as just a natural part of life on this planet. You know, when I used to complain to my dad that something hurt or made me mad, he used to say, "Sweetheart, you were born on the wrong planet. That I have the ideals of heaven, but the reality of earth." I think that ties in strongly to the grace piece, for offering grace to ourselves, like we talked about last week, but also especially as we think about and pre-plan to offer grace to others at the holidays. One of the things I know I have to be careful of is in my head, I can look at what somebody else is doing and how they're expressing their emotions, and I can become very judgmental and think, well, at least I'm not the kind of person who would ever fill in the blank. I would never say anything like that or say it that way or in that timing. And the grace piece for me says, I have to remind myself, I may not do the exact thing they're doing, but I do it in my own way. And I have to remind myself that I'm just like them. I am just like them, as much as I want to distance myself and say, no, no, them and me, we have nothing in common. Yes, we do. We're both humans. We're both in need of grace.
Yes. Well, I think too that this kind of rolls up grit and grace is that we need to realize for our own emotions and for other people's emotions that they're just amped up during this time of year. And it ties into that HALT acronym, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. All of those things converge at once in the holidays. So grit is recognizing that in ourselves and in others. And then grace, I think, for others is also thinking about how can I help them? How can I help provide for their needs? So even just simple things like having snacks around that gets everybody's blood sugar leveled out, because even little things like that make a difference. Having nuts and cheese and crackers, peanut butter on some celery or something besides candy around. Also, just building in some downtime every day for everybody, whether it's just snuggling, depending on the age of your children. I don't think my 22-year-old or my 20-year-old will snuggle with me this year, but, you know, I could try one more time. But if you're playing a family game or something quieter, less demanding. So just having grace and realizing everybody's got needs in this situation.
Well, you know, and also being aware and pre-planning to excuse yourself for a few minutes if there's a volatile situation and, you know, you have that urge to stand your ground and prove that you're right. Yesterday, I heard the best quote. This person said, "I've never learned anything when I was right."
Woo! That's good.
I know. And so if I'm busy insisting that I'm right, how much am I learning about this other person that I care about or love or at least am related to? And so taking that break, taking that time out could really dial down and de-escalate the emotional reactions that are happening. So you had a great truth that we can focus on to replace the bad rule that says, I have no idea,
that we could ruin everything in a moment's notice. Wow, like we have that much power, you know?
It's true. The idea that everyone else's peace and joy depend on you and how well you do whatever it is. What's the truth that we can focus on instead?
Well, this turns that bad rule on its head. It's letting everyone own their emotions, lets everyone be responsible for the joy. So, you know, part of my issue has always been my overdeveloped sense of responsibility, that I'm responsible for everything, the whole world, the way everybody responds. And if I just let everybody own their own stuff and I own mine too, joy will increase.
If you head on over to the webpage for today's episode at gritandgrace.info, you'll find several free downloadables, including this week's permission slip. It's a reminder that you don't have to obey the bad rule that says everyone else's peace and joy depend on you. Instead, you can focus on the fact that letting everyone own their emotions lets everyone be responsible for the joy. We hope you've enjoyed episode number 26 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Join Amy and me for next week's holiday break when we and some very special guests will be talking about how, in the midst of Christmas craziness, we can keep our focus on Jesus, the real reason for the season. For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. By all means, break it.